When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, it's Michael Costa from The Daily Show on Comedy Central. Ever wonder what happens behind the scenes or want to catch some extended interviews? Well, now you can. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition podcast for full episodes, extended content, and a whole lot more. The Daily Show, Ears Edition is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome one and all in here, out there. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And tonight, folks, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my friends over here. Thank you, my friends out there. I need your strength because I come to you defiant, unbroken, unbowed. Even though last night they held the drawing for the $1 billion Lotto Powerball jackpot and there were no winners. No winner. Oh, really? How is that possible, considering last night on the show, I announced that these right here were the winning numbers because, may I remind you, they are on my ticket, okay? I even promised to share the proceeds with the audience here, all right? Folks, we were getting ready to win this Powerball. Frankly, we did win this Powerball. But then... No, wait. Listen. But then at 11 p.m., there was a massive ball dump, okay? The Dominion Powerball machine flipped all the numbers. How are those balls floating around in there like that? Could it be Hugo Chavez's ghost on Halloween night? Oh! They stole the Powerball from all of us, audience. Which is why I'm holding a Stop the Ball rally at the bodega where I bought the ticket. Be there, will be wild. I tell you, I called the lotto officials last night. I said, fellas, I missed the winning number by only all the numbers, okay? I just need you to find me 6 winning numbers. Give me a break. And $1 billion. Okay, if my theory sounds crazy, let me point out, I have a pillow. Okay? And it can be yours for $1 billion. Yesterday was also Halloween. President and the First Lady had an eventful evening, greeting trick-or-treaters at the White House for the first time. Jill dressed as a butterfly, and Joe dressed as Grandpa, who thinks a hat counts as a costume. Very sweet. This is good. This is good, buddy. I'm all set. They had a great time giving out candy to all the trick-or-treaters. Knowing Biden, I'm guessing the kids got licorice and Amtrak schedules. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't take the local. That's 4 hours. You want to take the Acela. Costumes were so cute. Check out this little pumpkin here. All right. Seen 12 hours into a story about Scranton's minor league baseball team. According to reporters on the scene, the president was particularly pleased with a baby dressed up as a potato chip bag. Hey, hell of a costume there, baby Jack. My grandpa used to work down at the Ruffles factory. He added the ridges with a bandsaw. Come home, hands all salty, ended up with sour cream and onion lung. But it was honest work. No, I'm serious. One time he took me to meet Mr. Pringle, living in a big fancy tube up on the hill. No windows, but the basement was full of crumbs. We'd run down there, spoil our suppers. Now, Chester Cheetah lived next door. He was an odd fella. Didn't talk much, left a big orange streak wherever he went. Sad story. It's not easy being cheesy, Monterey Jack. Speaking of spooky, Pennsylvania. Really? Really? Wow. Speaking of spooky, Pennsylvania Senate candidate and corn mime Mehmet Oz Yesterday on the Fox News, Oz made his case to represent Pennsylvania while also demonstrating he does not know where Pennsylvania is.
Listen, this is important. We do not have a Republican senator north of North Carolina on the Atlantic coast until you get to Maine if I don't hold this seat.
Yes, the Atlantic coast of Pennsylvania. From the sunny beaches of Scranton to the white sands of Allentown. Of course, Pennsylvania has a long association with the ocean. Otherwise, how could I own this very real CD? Now, that's what I call songs about the beaches of Pennsylvania. It's got timeless classics like Sitting on the Dock of the Wawa, Wasting Away in Yinglingville, Wish They Could All Be King of Prussia Girls, and, of course, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Pennsylvania Dutch Bikini. Hey. There you go. That's it. There's no... Moving on to someone who really is from Pennsylvania, my dear friend, musical icon, Taylor Swift, seen here learning about Kanye getting kicked out of a Skechers. 12 days ago, Lore, as I call her, released her new album, Midnights. It's an absolute bop that slaps, or a slap that bops. Not sure. And now Taylor Swift has become the first artist ever to claim every single top 10 spot on Billboard's Hot 100 chart at once. All at once, baby. That's unbelievable. Is that really true? Let's fact check that. Who's got every single on the top 10?
It's me.
Oh, okay. Checks out. Oh, there's an update from new Twitter owner and proof that no one's rich enough to pull off a business casual bandana, Elon Musk. Musk has been trying to figure out ways to monetize Twitter, which is why, according to a leaked business plan, Twitter would start charging $20 per month for verification, and users who are already verified will have 90 days to subscribe or lose their blue checkmark. But that would be chaos. I rely on that blue checkmark to know which of my butters I can't not believe. And are you telling me that paragons of authenticity like Papa John's and Papa John's UK will risk falling to the same level as unverified frauds like Papa John's Houston? You know it's bad when Papa John's says, we cannot in good conscience verify that that is pizza. Twitter's big users, sure, why not? Maybe not pizza, maybe not pizza. Twitter's big users are also upset, like horror author Stephen King, who tweeted, $20 a month to keep my blue check? That. They should pay me. To which, bold. To which Musk directly responded, we need to pay the bill somehow. Twitter cannot rely entirely on advertisers. How about $8? That was a quick fold from the businessman. Okay, how about $8? We did the math, and this is true, at $8 a month times the 400,000 verified users presently on Twitter equals $38.4 million per year. So divide the $44 billion paid by Musk by the $38.4 million of income, he can pay off his purchase in 1,145 years, by which time this haircut might be in style. Moving on to something that will explode before Elon turns a profit on Twitter, the sun. Over the weekend, NASA released this ultraviolet image. Gaw! Look at that cute little sun. Who's the cutest little guy with the power of a trillion nuclear bombs? You are. This is a major astronomical discovery and proof that the picture I drew in second grade is scientifically accurate. Ms. Williams. So it turns out the dark patches we're seeing there are regions where solar wind escapes more quickly and readily into space, making these regions cooler. Cooler? I think we all know there's only one way to make that sun cooler. Deal with it. Now, speaking of the end of everything we hold dear, the Supreme Court, they spent the summer stomping on settled precedents like Roe v. Wade and Miranda rights, and now they may do it again because, according to legal experts, SCOTUS is likely to ban affirmative action in college admissions. Harvard's lawyer tried to explain to the court that affirmative action is applied on a case-by-case basis, but Chief Justice Roberts refused to buy it.
Race in some, for some highly qualified applicants can be the determinant factor, just as being an oboe player in a year in which the Harvard Radcliffe Orchestra needs an oboe player will be the tip.
We did not fight a civil war about oboe players. We did fight a civil war to eliminate racial discrimination, and that's why it's a matter of considerable concern.
Hold on. Does Chief Justice Roberts really think the Civil War eliminated racial discrimination? I think I know who's not on Twitter. Also, contrary to popular belief, we did fight a civil war about oboe players, and it's all in that Ken Burns documentary.
My dearest Sarah, on the eve of battle, I have just thought of a killer oboe solo. It goes like this.
We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Matthew Perry.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Folks, my first guest tonight is an actor and a writer you know from the whole nine yards and, of course, Friends. He's now written a memoir called Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Matthew Perry. Thanks for being here.
I missed you guys. I missed all of you. Very nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that very pleasant?
Better than booing.
Yes. Let's see. The interview's young.
Okay.
The book is Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Of course, the Big Terrible Thing being your experience with addiction.
That's right.
And we'll get into that more in just a moment, but the first and most important question is, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Thank you. I wouldn't say that I'm a narcissist, but I've been talking about myself all day, and I have no voice left.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay.
You can just whisper in my ear and I'll tell everybody what you said.
Okay. That sounds great.
Now, you spent half of your life, you say, in treatment centers or sober living facilities. You've dropped $9 million in an attempt to remain sober. Why did you decide to share your story in ways that you never have before? Nothing close to this.
Yeah. I mean, much like Mariah Carey, it is time.
There you go. But let's hope you don't have to do it every year like she
that's
does.
That's true. And I don't wear the same outfit.
Yeah.
The reason I did it, I needed to make sure that my sobriety was strong and safe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was my life has had so many highs and so many lows that I felt that it was time, and I felt that it really was time to help people. Mm-hmm. And my life has gone to such low degrees with addiction mm-hmm. that the lower the scale I go, the more helpful I can be to other people who have gone so low. And I thought I had that story to tell.
What was the feeling of that tension between those two realities? You have your private life, the fact that you are being abusive to yourself, using substances, whereas publicly we all know, I mean, you're the Friends.
Right.
You're all the friendly friends living these wonderful lives and everybody's happy and you have your fights and everything, but essentially you live in an unrealistically large apartment in New York City.
Right.
And drink a lot of coffee.
But remember, there's no fourth wall.
That's true.
So
that's why the rent is so low.
That's why it's cheaper.
No, so tell me about the tension between those two things.
It was awful.
Did that tension add to sort of your desire to use?
Yeah, I mean, it was awful. I didn't have to anything to add to the desire to use. I mean, I just wanted to and needed to. Mm-hmm. And it was a secret for so long. And actually coming on talk shows is one of the worst parts of it because I really had to hide this problem to the nation, you know? And
right, because you're ostensibly yourself not hiding behind the character.
Right, and, you know, I used to think it was essential to be funny all the time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I gave that up sort of in my mid-30s. I was like, I don't have to be I think I'm actually annoying people. Just be yourself, it's okay.
Did you in your, you know, in your work, because recovery involves a lot of self-reflection.
Yeah.
Did you ever come to a realization of why you want this sort of internal adjustment of your mind and your heart and your spirit through the use of, you know, foreign substances?
Well, I thought that reality was an acquired taste, you know, and I just had acquired very
not for everybody.
Very little of it.
Okay.
And you know, some people they have a drink. And they feel a little wacky, and then that's the night for them. If I have a drink, all of a sudden, reality just moves to where it should be. And so I want to drink all the time because it's the only time I feel good and normal. But then it turns on you. The drink turns on you and says, well, now I'm going to kill you. And then you say, well, hold on a minute. I don't want to die, so let's go... Let's go try to not do that. But I needed to be locked up to do that.
We have a friend in common, Chris Farley, who did not, you know, make the decision you did in time.
Yeah.
And we lost him in 1998, Christmas of 97, something like that.
Something like that.
Long time ago. Were you already battling with your own inner demons and use at the time? When Chris passed, that was so shocking to people who knew nothing about Chris's life and what he had struggled with.
Yeah.
Did that scare you into taking action at the time?
Well, the first thing I did was punch a wall through Jennifer Aniston's dressing room. Mm-hmm. Just when I found out, I just put a whole hole in her dressing room.
Yeah.
And it, yes, of course it scared me, but being scared of it isn't enough, you know? You can be scared of it, but it doesn't do enough, you know, for you. So, you know, sometimes you get scared enough, and I'm one of these guys that you go, whoa, wait a minute, this all went totally out of control, I need help, and that ultimately saves my life because I get scared.
How many times have you raised your hand and said, I need help at this point in your
Oh,
journey?
14, 15 times.
Is there something different about this time for you?
Well, I've managed to build up some time, and reality has become an acquired taste. I'm happy. I'm living the kind of life I want to live.
Is this the first book you've written?
Yeah.
So what is that, like, human beings of all stripes recast themselves often in their mind. I know I have to watch it all the time, and I have since I was younger. Recast themselves as the hero of their own story. To say, oh, I'm not the one who did that. I'm not responsible for that bad thing.
Right.
How reliable of a narrator are you of your own life, do you imagine?
I think I'm quite reliable after all this time. I blame myself. I don't go after anybody in this book. I blame myself for all of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably right. You know, I think I had people around me that were telling me to stop. I had people around me that, you know, say, you're going to kill yourself if you keep going like this. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know. I didn't know how. Like if the police had come to my door and said, we're going to take you to jail if you drink tonight, I would have had to pack for jail because I was going.
We have to take a quick break, but stick around because we'll be right back with more Mr. Matthew Perry, everybody.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
Big terrible thing, Mr. Matthew Perry. In 2019, You had a harrowing health scare.
Yeah.
It was also a moment of a career high. You were supposed to play opposite Meryl Streep in Adam McKay's Don't Look Up.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Right.
What happened instead?
I got CPR, and the guy who saved my life broke 8 ribs in the process.
And may I ask why you were getting CPR?
They were doing a procedure because I had pain in my stomach. They were doing a procedure, and they gave me propofol.
Yeah, sure. The stuff like for colonoscopy.
Yeah, all that stuff. And my heart stopped for 5 minutes.
So you were kind of legally dead for 5 minutes?
Well, no, I didn't flatline, but my heart did stop for 5 minutes.
What is the difference between that and flatlining?
I don't know.
They didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no difference between those two. Did you have any experience or anything like that?
No, I woke up in a different hospital 10 hours later.
And Meryl Streep was not there.
No, I had to give up, you know, this amazing movie that I got, the best, biggest movie I've ever gotten. I had 4 scenes with Meryl Streep. And apparently on the set, she was like, Matthew, where are you?
Wow.
She missed me.
Does she now know? Is this how she's learning what happened?
It's a completely made up story.
Of course.
Yeah.
You just didn't want to work with Meryl.
Yeah. Meryl's Meryl.
She's okay.
Yeah.
One highlight for a lot of people of the 2020, you know, COVID crisis, we're all at home, is the Friends reunion.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I had had 2 days prior to that, I had had this dental emergency where I had 3 bone spurs in my mouth and they had to be removed right away. And in this one case, I thanked the paparazzi because they caught pictures of me going into the dentist 2 days before the reunion. And I knew that there was something off with me because my mouth was on fire, but I also knew that I had to show up at this reunion. There's so many people where I can't move it, I can't change it. So I basically went and did the best that I could, but I was on like 6 cylinders, not 8, you know?
You grew up in Canada, in Ottawa, went to school with a young man named Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
Now, who gets recognized more in Canada, you or Trudeau?
I would say Trudeau. But, you know, there was a big rumor about us.
What?
That I beat him up in grade school.
Did you?
I don't think so, no.
But you're not entirely sure.
No, my friends Brian Murray and Chris Murray, who were the guys and myself who invented that weird way of talking. You know, could it be colder in here?
Sure.
Could it be colder in here, by the way?
Yes.
It's really cold.
No, it could not.
Okay.
No.
So they told me that we beat up Justin Trudeau, and I just believed them. And somehow he got the story, and he tweeted me, and he wanted to, like, have a fight. And I said, you have your own army. No thanks. And it ended there, thank goodness.
How could your life get any weirder?
I know.
The Prime Minister of Canada.
He said we've all wanted to punch Chandler at one time or another. That's what he said.
And it's all in the book.
Yeah.
The book is Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. It's available now, and the man is Matthew Perry.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube. Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.